and goats and sheep, Mr. Dave Hall.
Well, thank you, Mr. Barr. Good afternoon, everyone. You know, the fact that we have to have security now at the front door, the first message talking about we're living in a dark world, and we certainly are, it's something that's been on my mind, but in a different sort of way. Yes, we live in a dark world, and we are that shining light, but there's some things that we need to be thinking about. We've been 5 months now since the Feast of Tabernacles. And a couple of more months, the Passover season is going to be here, and these are times that we should be doing self-examination, thinking about ourselves. And of course, this is something we should be doing all year long, every day, as a matter of fact, pulling the veil back and looking to see if we have the reflection of Jesus Christ in our character. But I have a question I want to ask you, and it's a sobering question. My question is, how many of us are ready to die right now? I mean, for real, ready to die right now. It's a scary thing, isn't it? A scary thought. We can walk across the street, get hit by a car, run over by a bus, maybe get thrown under a bus, you know, whatever. So let me rephrase my question, because I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to get you to think. So let me rephrase my question. How many of us are ready right now to die for Jesus Christ, for his name's sake? How many of us right now are ready? I want to take you back a few hundred years to the 15th century. And there was a man named I'm sure you recognize the name, John Wycliffe. And John Wycliffe was an eminent scholar, a theologian, and also a philosopher. And you might not realize this, but he believed that there was a true gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ was going to return, that the Pope is not in charge, and because he believed those things, he was labeled a heretic. But God blessed him, and he spoke in a time when it was a dark world. And these are some of the things, just the one paragraph I want to read. This is Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm sure you all are familiar with this book. But there's a paragraph about John Wycliffe. John Wycliffe's influence came at a time when organized religion was depraved and corrupted. Does that sound like our society today? People gave lip service to the things of the Lord, but they denied his converting power by the way that they lived. The traditions and ceremonies of men were important to many, and few had a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It was a time of spiritual blindness, because they had no way of obtaining direct knowledge of the scriptures. Most people were led into realms of darkness and doubt and taught by the clerics that the ceremonies and practices of the church would save them. John Wycliffe preached the real gospel of the coming of Jesus Christ and the coming of the kingdom of God. And because he preached the real gospel, there were a few people who believed what he was preaching. But they was in a dark world, he was in a dark time. And one of the men that believed him, his name was John Huss. So let me read a little bit about John Huss and the Fox's Book of Martyrs. John Huss was a minister, a priest, and he believed what the teachings were of John Wycliffe. And so he started preaching the same thing. And he lived about the same time. He lived, but along about 1400, 1410, 1412, the Pope was getting fed up with the truth being preached. And so the Pope was saying, label these guys heretics and shut them up. Do away with them. If you recall, this was the beginning of the Inquisition period in these dark ages. But let me read to you what happened to John Huss. The bishops decided that they should cut off the crown of his head with a pair of shears. Huss was then led by past a fire where they were burning his books and his teachings, all of his sermons that he had been preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the true gospel. They led him past his books and his sermons that were being bound up and were being burned. and bound to a stake, he was bound to a stake with a chain. And the bundles of sticks were packed or stacked so high they were piled up to his neck. And then the Duke of Bavaria tried to get him to recant his teachings. And Huss replied, now remember, he's chained to the stake, wood up to his neck, and the fire is being lit. And he said, no, no, I never preached any doctrine that was evil, and what I taught with my lips, I will now seal with my blood. Huss sang a hymn so loud and cheerful that he could be heard above the crackling and the burning sticks and the noise of the crowd watching him burn. Soon, however, his voice stopped as the flames reached his throat and his face, and he slumped forward against his chains. John Huss believed, and because he believed, he died for what he believed. The question is, are you ready to die now for Jesus' name's sake? Let me read one more. Jerome of Prague. Jerome of Prague also believed John Wycliffe's teachings. And Jerome was also a priest. And Jerome believed that we should be preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should be talking about the coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth. And that the Pope is not in charge. And so they got a hold of Jerome. And they tortured him. And they finally got him to recant his beliefs. And he recanted the beliefs of John Wycliffe and John Huss. And so they led him away from the burning stake back to the dungeon. But they weren't through with him, so they tortured him some more, and they hung him by his heels for 11 days. And then they finally let him down and thought that they had taught him a good lesson. But Jerome of Prague was a priest who felt sorry for what he had done. He realized that, no, he really did believe that Jesus is the Christ and that the teachings of John Wycliffe were correct and were right, and that John Huss had gone to his death at the stake. He had believed in what he had believed in, and he was burned at the stake. And so Jerome repented of his recantation. And so he retracted his denunciation of Wycliffe and of Huss. And so now they had to take him back to the stake and burn him at the stake. And on the way, and I wanted to read this because this is a true story. On the way to the stake, Jerome sang several hymns. And when he was taken to the exact spot where Huss was burned, he knelt down and prayed fervently. Then he embraced the stake before he could be chained. And when the executioner went behind him to light the sticks and the wood, he said to the executioner, come here in front of me and light the fire where I can see it. If I were afraid of it, I would not have come to this place. And he sang hymns while they set him afire. William Tyndale, and you've heard of the Tyndale Bible. William Tyndale translated the Bible from the Greek into the English language, and his whole goal was to prove or to give the commoner, you and me, a chance to know what the Scripture said about Jesus Christ and about God Almighty. William Tyndale in 1536 was burned at the stake. He believed in what he did, and he was burned at the stake for it. Recently, just a few years ago, or actually presently right now, Mr. Siam is a Christian minister who is sitting in a prison right now in Iran because he's a Christian and because he would not recant what he believed in. And so he's been condemned to death. And the only reason that he has not been hung is because a lot of people, a lot of Christians, are writing letters to the Iranians begging for their mercy not to hang him. There's another Christian minister who believes in Jesus Christ and who believes in preaching the gospel who's in a North Korean prison. And he's been condemned to death because he's a Christian. A Chinese Christian or a Christian Chinese family hid their one and only Bible in a bird's nest in their house. And one day it was discovered by the officials in their little community. So the officials came to that house. They took the Bible away from the family and they burned it in front of them. And then they slaughtered the family, the entire family, the husband, the wife, the grandmother, the grandfather, the grandchildren, all of them killed. And then the neighbors were hauled off to work camps because they were Christians. What do you believe, and what are you willing to die for? Paul wrote in Philippians, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How do we feel inside of ourselves? Are we really willing to tell someone, light the fire? Get in front of me. Let me see you light the fire. How strong is your faith and what do you believe? Another passage that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he says, I die daily. In Romans 8:36, Paul writes, as it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long, and we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I introduce this message to us not to frighten us, but to actuate in us a fervency, a zeal, to gird up our loins, the loins of our minds, and to be sober in our thinking as we examine ourselves and as we approach the Passover season. It's just a few weeks away. What do you believe in? What are you willing to die for? And as I say that you, I'm speaking to myself as well. What are we willing to die for? What are we willing to believe in? And are we afraid to speak about God and Jesus Christ and the Sabbath and the holy days in front of our neighbors or in front of somebody that maybe might not be a Christian? So let me ask the question again. How many of us are ready right now to die for Jesus Christ for his name's sake? If you will, turn with me over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 22, he says, Jesus Christ is quoted as saying, Matthew 10, verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Mark 13, if you'll turn with me now over to the book of Mark. In Mark 13, and in verse 13, Mark chapter 13, verse 13, it says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Turn with me also to Luke 21, the book of Luke, in chapter 21. And let's start reading in verse 10. Luke 21, chapter 21, and reading in verse 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in every place, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great sights from heaven. We haven't seen those things yet. We've seen many earthquakes, and there are thousands of them going on every day, as a matter of fact. We've seen terrible and horrific storms and terrible things happening to people in spotted areas around the world. But we haven't seen what we're reading about here. And there will be great earthquakes in many places or everywhere, and the famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. We live in a dark society. We live in a dark world. But notice in verses 16 and 17, again, you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Brethren, true Christianity is no game. coming down here on the Sabbath and worshiping and singing a song service and then saying a prayer and going home, that's just we could get into a rut doing that. True Christianity is a matter of death and life. The mortal should not worry. We shouldn't worry about the mortal. Sure, it's natural to be afraid, but we have Jesus Christ and God Almighty on our side. And when I read the history about John Huss and John Wycliffe and William Tyndale and other people like that, and when I read in the news how a person is condemned to death to be hung because he believes and he's a Christian, and he spoke out about what he believed in, and when he's been interviewed, he says, "You know what? It's okay. God is with me. If I die, I die." But like Paul said, you know, to die is gain, isn't it? To live is Christ and to die is gain. So the question I have been posing is, where are we to stand now? What should be our commitment now? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So if you will, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that you are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, and that we should appear approved before, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. But we cannot do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong, and this also we pray, that you may be complete. The key words in these few verses that I read are examine yourself. The New Living Translation reads like this for these same verses, right? Especially verse 5. Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourself. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. What do you really believe in? How important is your faith to you? Is it a matter of death and life? 1 Corinthians 11. If you'll turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 28, it says, "But let a man examine himself." In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." The New Living Translation reads this: "That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." Sure, we need to examine ourselves. If we're going to eat the bread, that says we are all in. We are committed. If we eat the bread and drink the cup, what are we telling Jesus Christ? I'm on your team. I'm committed. And I'm all committed all the way. If somebody doesn't like what I believe in, I'll pray for it because that's what we're told to do. But where do I stand if it's a matter of death and or of life? We are approaching the Passover season, a time when we emphasize self-examination and commitment. Christ says in verse 26 of chapter 11, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." For as oft as you eat it, we show our commitment to Jesus Christ every year, especially at the Passover season when we eat the bread and drink the wine, we take the cup. We show that our walk is not just a talk, but it's a walk also. We believe in what we believe in, we show by our fruits and by, as we were hearing in the earlier message, by our works and our walk in Christ. Matthew 20, verses 22 through 23. Matthew 20, beginning in verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask." Breaking into a thought here where Jesus was asked for both James and John to be sitting on the left and the right of Christ in the kingdom, if you remember the story. And Jesus answered and he says, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am about to be baptized with?" And they said to him, "We are able." What are we saying in our prayers when we speak to God and when we pray through Jesus Christ? Are we saying we are able? One day we will be kings and priests and we'll be teaching others on how to walk and how to live in the right way. Are we able to be baptized with the baptism of Jesus Christ that he was baptized with? We have to answer that question. And only an individual can answer that question for himself within his own heart. But 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and 28 says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord, let him examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Are you able to be baptized with the baptism and to drink of that cup? These are questions we need to be asking ourselves as we approach the Passover season. Turn now to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus says to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then in Luke 14, which is where I really want to stay in the scriptures from here on, is in Luke 14. You'll turn over to Luke 14, beginning in verse 27. Actually, beginning in verse 26, he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Are you prepared to bear your cross and follow after Jesus Christ? He goes on to say in verse 28, to count the cost. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, wherewith he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish it.'" And then down in verse 22 or 32, "Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." And then he goes on to say, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how can it season? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out." And then the clincher is, "He who has ears, let him hear." Jesus Christ is telling us something. We need to be able to take up our cross and follow him. Are you prepared to drink of that cup? The purpose of this message is to call our attention to that calling, to call our attention to our commitment, to call our attention to self-examination. What does it mean to bear one's cross? It means to be fully committed, even unto death. When you read the commentaries, they talk about bearing the cross. You know, the cross was never mentioned in the New Testament until at this period when Christ says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Are you prepared to take up your cross and follow Christ, even unto death? That's what he's saying in the scriptures. How strong is your faith? Are you determined? Are you committed? Well, that's what our walk in this journey right now is all about, is to build the faith of Jesus Christ in us. Of ourselves, we can't do it. Of ourselves, we are weak, and we would be like Jerome of Prague. We would recant. We would change. But when you have the faith of Jesus Christ in you, you can do all things. We also need to count the cost. We need to count the cost and realize that life is Christian life is not a game. It's real, and we need to treat it as real. We need to be able to forsake all And that means that those things of the world that we enjoy, those things of the world of our family that we or our family members that we enjoy, we need to be prepared to forsake all. And Christ said all. You remember the parable where the one disciple said, "Well, let me go bury my dead, my father." And Christ said, "Let the dead bury the dead." We have to be prepared to forsake all for Jesus Christ and for this work, for the gospel that he has given us to do, the light that we're supposed to be shining, the good works we're supposed to be doing. And then the last point is, he who has an ear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Commitment, labor, suffering, enduring. Remember Christ said, endure to the end, he'll be saved. No man, having put his hand to the plow, Christ says, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. How many of us right now are ready to die for Jesus Christ for his name's sake? True Christianity is not a game. It is a matter of death and life. Where do we stand now? What should be our commitment? Well, I pray that I have the courage that John Huss has or had. I pray that I have the courage that Jesus Christ wants me to have if I'm ever confronted with that type of horrific problem of having to stand up and maybe be burned at the stake or hung or whatever for what I believe in. I pray for this Christian minister that I don't even know. I pray for the family of the Christian or the Chinese or Christian Chinese family, those who are now in work camps with sad memories because of what they believed. I pray that I had the faith of Jesus Christ in my life. And I pray that as we get closer to the Passover, that I truly, truly examine myself so that as I pull the veil back from my eyes, as Jesus Christ pulls the veil back from my eyes, I will see his reflection in my life and in my character. And I pray for that for all of us. Let us examine ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. Let us test ourselves that we may know that Jesus Christ is among us. Are we approaching, as we approach the Passover season, let us ask ourselves, am I committed, ready to die for the name of his name's sake? Have I counted the cost? Do I examine myself daily? Do I die daily? Have I forsaken all for his name's sake? And have I ears to hear and put my hand to the plow and not look back? And that I grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so that my faith will meld and be covered and be in Jesus Christ, so I have the faith of Jesus Christ in my life to withstand the things that are going on in this dark world around us, and that his light will shine through me. These are the things that I pray for and look forward to as we come towards the Passover season, to really be sober in my thinking and examine myself. So when I eat the bread and drink the wine and the cup is handed to me, that I understand what that meaning is. And I hope you will too.